Good morning. Thank you very much for your welcome. It's good to be with you again. I do bring with me the warm greetings of Hampstead Road Church in Dorking and pass on their regards to you this morning. Please turn with me to Colossians and chapter 1. This passage in Colossians tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord of creation and Lord of reconciliation. They seem to shout to us with the volume turned up to the absolute maximum. And they're shouting out, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of creation, verses 15 through to 17. And he is Lord of reconciliation, verses 18 through to 20. And this morning, I want us to concentrate on verses 15 through to 17. And as we read these verses, it's almost as if they grab us by the shoulders, they give us a good shake, they shout in our face and proclaim, Jesus is Lord of creation. He is Creator. We see that in verse 16. For by him all things were created. He is the goal of creation. We see this in verses 16b. All things were created by him and for him, the goal. And thirdly, he is the sustainer of creation. We see that in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We have creator, we have goal, we have sustainer. My 3 points this morning. I'd like you to repeat after me those 3 points. So hopefully, by the time you go this morning, they'll be lodged in your brain. Let's say those together. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. I might test you later on, so hold on to those 3 things. Do you know this very well-known song? I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, well done. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed days and the dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colours of the rainbow are so pretty in the sky. It's also on the faces of the people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? Fairies saying, I love you. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. It's hard to stop yourself getting into song, isn't it? And singing that. What a great feel-good song that is. And Louis Armstrong, in singing that song, is acknowledging that the world is truly amazing. Even those who perhaps don't believe in a creator God can look at the world and be caught up with its intricacy, in its beauty, and its complexity. There's something inside each one of us that looks at the world and is just taken aback by what it is. But you know, Louis Armstrong is only half right. He says, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. But the Bible gives us a full picture. Because when we read the Bible and when we hear what God has to say, we can look at creation and say, what a wonderful God. And I think to myself, what a wonderful God. And so we come back to our passage and we turn to our first heading, which is Christ the Creator, verse 16. For by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made all things. By him, all things were created. Christ made, verse 16, things in heaven. For by him all things were created, things in heaven. As we look and think of the cosmos and the starry night, we're amazed at its beauty. He made the galaxies and the solar systems. Did you know that the Milky Way is 621,000 million, million miles across? One galaxy, of which there are many. He made the planets. He made the sun. The sun has a surface temperature of 6,000 degrees centigrade. It loses 4 million tons of energy every second, but has enough fuel left that it can go on and burn for another 4 million years. He made the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ made the moon, the asteroids. He made the billions of stars. He made the speck of dust in the outermost backwash of the universe. He created them by the power of his word. By him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created. He made the heavens. And then we read in verse 16 that Christ made the earth, all things in heaven and on earth. From that microscopic zooplankton in the ocean to the vast 180-ton blue whale that feeds on them, the largest mammal on earth, he made them. He created the breathtaking mountains, the beautiful flowers, colour, flavoursome food, sweet smells, animals, birds and reptiles. He created the powerful elephant right through to the virus under an electron microscope. He made the earth. He created you. The Bible says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." We are beautifully and intricately made in his image. Parents, perhaps we tend to think that babies and children are ours. They belong to us. Well, the Bible says, yes, that's right, but first and foremost, they belong to Christ. He made us. He made them. They are his children. And we are to care for them as stewards of his creation. Every tiny fetus in a mother's womb is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was shocked in the last few weeks to read that in the 40 years of the abortion bill, there have been 6.7 million abortions in that period of time. That is truly shocking. Those tiny babies belong to Christ. They're not ours to dispose of. They belong to him. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us our emotions, love, joy, happiness, peace, pleasure, enjoyment. He made them all. He made the earth. So we've seen that Christ made the heavens, he made the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ created the laws by which nature operates. Energy and matter, time, the speed of light, magnetism, sound and gravity, weather patterns belong to him. Cyclones, hurricanes, volcanoes, They belong to him. Christ made all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is the great creator. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 95. And here we find that the psalmist is trying to summarize the totality of God's creative powers. And he does so by using contrasting couplets. Let's turn to Psalm 95 and verse 4. So by way of contrast, he shows the greatness of the Lord's creation. And in Psalm 95, verse 4, it says, "In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him." What is the greatest depth in the world? Well, probably one of the great ocean trenches that goes miles below the sea, the lowest point on earth, right up to the mountain peak, the Himalayas and Everest. From the depths of the earth to the mountain peaks, they belong to him. They are God's. And then the psalmist says, by way of another contrast, verse 5, "The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land." Another contrast, liquid, solid. So whether it's low to high, liquid or solid, they are all made by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great creator. And then Colossians 1 verse 16 says that the Lord Jesus Christ created the invisible realm. Verse 16. Things, whether visible and invisible. And then it goes on to speak about thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And the commentators say that this is probably referring to the rank of spiritual beings. From the most important in the angelic realm through to the least important in terms of their rank, Jesus Christ created them. Whether in the spiritual realm things are good or bad, fallen or unfallen, they were created by him and for him. Even the devil, even demons, before they fell, were created by the Lord Jesus Christ for him and for his glory. But Christ rules over them. He will never be usurped. He will never be overthrown. He is their creator, he is their judge, and he is their disposer. He created the invisible realm. Now, when we think of perhaps these spiritual powers and as it relates to the devil and the demons, we may be pretty worried and anxious. There seems to be a rise in our particular society of an interest in the New Age, in occult practices, in magic, and in all things spiritual. Perhaps behind many of these things are satanic or demonic influences. And maybe we are afraid of them, and that would be right to be so. But we need to realize this, and that is that these are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ as Son of God. He has power over all spiritual beings, whether good or bad. And at the end of times, Christ will throw the devil and his angels into the lake of burning sulfur, where they will be tormented forever, day and night. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over the spiritual realm. So be at peace. He is utterly in control. Jesus is Lord over the invisible realm. And so, as we come to these verses, the headline news flashing above our eyes this morning is that by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all things were created. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great uncreated creator. He is the great uncreated creator. He is the Father's agent through creation. John 1, verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. When we think about this great doctrine of creation, we need to be reminded that God, through his Son Christ, created ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. God, through Christ, created out of nothing. There were no building blocks or raw materials for him to work with. We believe this by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3. For by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, he created out of nothing. He created by the power of his word, and they came into being. And therefore, as we look at the vastness of our universe, we need to see a massive and a great divide. And things in our universe and in our world are either one of two things. They are either God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or they are created things. Things are either God, or they are created. By him, all things were created. We have this great divide, God or all things created by him. If it's not God, it's something that he has created. And so we can see in the universe that all things were made by him. Now, I want us this morning to be aware of two dangers theologically. And the first danger is this. We need to be aware of treating our Creator God as if he is something created. The first great danger. And so there is this tendency to reduce Almighty God, our great Creator, into something that we can tangibly see or worship or bow before. We see that with idols, the calf idol. We see it with icons. We see with all sorts of images that are trying to represent God. He cannot be reduced down to something that has been created. The first danger to avoid. And the second great danger to avoid is treating created things as if they are the creator themselves. I'll give you an example. At the beginning of summer, the BBC ran a programme on the River Ganges. I'm not sure whether some of you may have seen it. I only saw one of the programmes, but what struck me was that the Hindus worshipped the River Ganges. Why? Well, because it was a river that brought fertility. It flooded the fields. It brought sediment from the Himalayas. It brought water and soil for crops so that they could feed and provide for themselves. And so they worshipped the River Ganges, a created thing, as if it was God. Think of the culture in Egypt and how they worshipped gods of sun and moon and stars, fertility gods. They're worshipping the created thing as if it's the creator himself. The second error to avoid. Now, we may not bow down to a river, we may not bow down to the sun or to stars. What about our work? My work provides for my family. What about my pension? What about my investment? I see that, a created thing, as something that provides for my needs. What about my ability? My ability to earn lots of money, perhaps. Friends, we need to be careful of this great danger of worshipping a created thing as if it is the Creator himself. And so in Colossians, we see the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty, all-glorious Creator, the author of everything. He waters the land. He drenches the furrows. He makes the clouds rise. He thunders. He makes it snow and he makes it rain. He sends the frost and the ice and then melts them with his word. He sends prosperity and sends calamity. Our Heavenly Father makes the sun rise and sends rain. He feeds the birds. He clothes the grass of the field. He calms the raging sea. He drives out demons. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He even numbers the hairs on your head. Christ is the Creator, supreme, preeminent in everything. Look at verse 18 with me. So that in everything he might have supremacy. The supreme Lord Jesus Christ. So my first heading then. Christ is Lord over creation. He is firstly Creator. And then secondly, verse 16b, we see that Christ is the goal of creation. The goal of creation. All things were created by him and, notice this, for him. As our great creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, has ownership over his world. He owns us. We belong to him. He has authority over what he has created. The furthest star in the universe, planet Earth, that blue whale, the virus under the microscope, the food that you eat and the soul that you possess are created by him and for him. He is the goal of creation. As we look at this passage, notice the repetition of all things. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things, verse 16. Verse 16b, all things were created by him. Verse 17, he is before all things. Verse 19, verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. And so as we perhaps look around us this morning, we can think perhaps of this lectern, a glass of water, the boats on the sea, this building, each other, the chairs on which we sit. Christ made all things for him, for his glory. He is the great and the supreme explanation behind the universe. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the A to Z. He is the beginning and the end. He is the goal of his creation. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, it's my body, it's my life, I can do with it whatever I want. I belong to myself, to me. It's not his. The Bible says that's untrue. You belong to Christ. He made you for himself. And since you belong to him, he can make rules of what you can and cannot do. He is your creator. Tell me, has anyone here had the terrible experience of having their house burgled? No? No? No, oh, one person. One person. must be the most awful thing to happen to you. To have an unknown person come into your home and violate your private property, to raid through your personal possessions, and to go through all those things that are precious to you, and to steal them and take them away. Perhaps it would make you feel angry, invaded, upset. You want your possessions back and you want those perpetrators brought to book. My friends, if you are not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you have stolen what rightfully belongs to him. All things were created by him and for him, including yourself. You are his. He gave you your mind. He gave you your emotions. He gave you your body. He gave you your physical strength, your character, your creativity, your gifts, your abilities. He provides for you your family and your friends, your wealth, your home, your circumstances. They all belong to him. We are accountable to him for how we use his good gifts. I wonder how the Lord Jesus feels about having been robbed by us, having been robbed by you, if you're not living for him. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you back. He is the goal. We are the goal of his creation. He wants us for himself. Perhaps this morning, we may want to admit that we have squandered his gifts. Maybe we've denied his lordship. Or maybe just the things that we have thought about this morning, we haven't heard before. Something that's foreign to us. But the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And with broad, open, welcoming arms, he lovingly wants you to come back to himself. He is a wonderful creator, a wonderful saviour, who loves and delights to forgive you for your sins. Tell me, how important do you think you are to the Lord Jesus? How important do you think you are to the Lord Jesus? Consider this. It took him 6 days to make the world and the cosmos in which we live. He spoke and it came into being. But you are so precious to him that it took the incarnation of the Son of God and 33 years, his birth, his death, and his resurrection to bring you eternal life. That is truly amazing. He brought the world into being by 6 days, but to bring you eternal life, it cost the death of the Son of God, our great Creator, and 33 years on earth. My friends, you are wonderfully precious to him that he should do that for you. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. He loves you. You are made for him. And as our great creator, he owns and rules his creation. Did you know that one day that has been appointed, every knee in this room will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me. Go left in your Bible to Philippians. And chapter 2, perhaps 2 or 3 pages to your left. Philippians and chapter 2, and verse 9. Therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day you will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him to be Lord. But until that day, Christ reigns over his kingdom and the world in which we live, and he is putting all his enemies under his feet. He rules with authority and with power. Please don't leave it until that day, until you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will be too late. Rather, let us all turn from our selfish ways. Ask the Lord Jesus for his forgiveness and confess him to be Lord. Being alienated from the Lord Jesus Christ is being alienated from what we were created to be and for. And if this morning you are a Christian, is the Lord Jesus Christ Lord over every tiny part of your life? Are you holding back from him things that rightfully belong to him? He made all things for his glory. Maybe we have a temptation and a tendency to say, Lord, there's only so much time and effort and commitment and money and ambition that I'm prepared to give to you. I'm holding back what rightfully belongs to him. What about your body and your mind, your gifts and your talents? What about your thoughts and your ambitions, your energy and your gifts and your desires? Are you giving them all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he created all things for himself? They belong to him. You are made for him. He is the goal of creation. All that you have rightfully belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You were created for him and for his glory. Well, let's try and apply this into our everyday lives. If the Lord Jesus has given you lots of time as a retired person, how do you use that time for him? If the Lord Jesus has given you a really good brain, are you using it effectively to explain his gospel and his greatness? Perhaps the Lord has given you a lovely home. It's a gift from him. Are you using it for his glory? Do you use your home as a means of spreading the gospel, as a means of kingdom work by showing hospitality? If the Lord has given you great wealth or general wealth, are you a good steward of the money that he has given you? Are you using it for kingdom work? And if the Lord Jesus has given you gifts for music and art, serving and hospitality, creativity and encouragement and administration, are you using those gifts for him, for his glory? Do you glorify Christ with those gifts? And on the flip side of the coin, if you're a Christian this morning, what about that mindset that thinks more Christian meetings, more work, more time, more energy, more exertion equals greater spirituality? My friends, that's wrong. Endless meetings, long hours, exhaustion in church work. Well, the Lord Jesus would ask, I guess, this question. Your body belongs to me. Are you looking after it? Are you looking after your family? They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you finding time to enjoy his good gifts of creation? Are you enjoying his world and giving him praise and glory for the glory of the world in which we live? Are you looking after the environment, his world? So there are two ways of looking at this whole thing. All things were created by him and for him. He is the goal of creation. So firstly, he is creator. Secondly, he is goal. And thirdly, and finally, and more briefly, verse 17, Christ is the sustainer. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is before all things. And he is before all things in the sense that he is the eternal Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. When nothing else existed in the whole of creation, he was. He predates the world in which we live. He is before all things. And he is before all things in the sense that here he has pride of place in his universe. He's number one. He has supremacy. He is the boss. He is the most important. He is the governor. Verse 18. He should have supremacy, and he will have supremacy. And then we see, in terms of him being our sustainer, verse 17, and in him, Christ, all things hold together. He is the binding effect on the universe in which we live. He is, quite simply, the sustainer of our world. He is the full and the ultimate expression of the world's continuance. Have you ever wondered, what on earth is this world all about? Where's it going? Why are we here? Who's in charge? Will the greenhouse effect finally finish us off? Will there be a rogue bird flu super virus that wipes out millions? Will North Korea hover over the red plunge button of the nuclear war and press it and send nuclear weapons around the world? My friends, be at peace. Jesus Christ is in control. He is supremely ruling over all things. And all things hold together in him. Nothing happens or will happen outside of his express control and will. In him, all things hold together. The Lord Jesus Christ is the reason why life exists, and he is the power which keeps the universe together. He is the sustainer and the unifying principle in our universe. He sustains all things. Elsewhere it says that. By the power of his word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who overrules all things and works in all things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. The Lord Jesus Christ is so intricately involved in this world that he controls all the events in nature and controls the course of your life. Did you realize that? He controls the course of your life. Look at verse 26. I was in John's Gospel there. It's no wonder I couldn't find it. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made every nation that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now, isn't that incredible? The Lord Jesus Christ has determined your conception. He's determined your birth. He's determined where you will live. He's determined that you are here this morning. And he knows when and where you will die. This verse tells us. He is intricately involved in the course of our everyday lives. Why? Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is intricately involved in your life so that you may reach out and find him. He wants you back for himself. He loves you and wants you to come into his salvation. And then secondly, let's turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verses 10 and 11. And not only is the Lord Jesus Christ involved in our everyday lives, but he is also intricately involved in this world, his world, that he governs and guides it for his own plans and glory. Verse 10. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. He is in control. History belongs to him. The future belongs to him. He is utterly and sovereignly in control of his cosmos. He is involved intricately in his world. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over his world. He is sovereign over our individual lives. And in his great mercy, provides all that we need for life. In him, all things hold together. He is our great sustainer. Why does he sustain the universe? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Because God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient. God is gracious. God sustains his universe so that you may repent and bow the knee to him now and confess that he is Lord. Will you reach out to him? He is here. He longs for you to ask him into your heart. Bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so Christ is our sustainer. He is at the helm of the universe. He is totally and utterly in control. As we look at these verses in Colossians, we see then that the great Lord Jesus Christ is Lord over the whole of his creation. He is creator. He is goal. He is sustainer. Now to finish, I'd like us to repeat those three things together three times so it lodges in our brains. Let's do that together. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal, sustainer. Creator, goal sustainer. Praise his name. Amen.